Blog Talk Radio.
To the people and the Gentiles, Tommy Hart, the one the authorized version ascribes the name Lord God is Real, appears among us with great news. A former preacher of the church and author of the Book of the Law of God, All Things, the Demonstrated Power of God, Lord God would like to share what he has discovered during what is now a 39-year study of the Authorized Version Bible, also known as the King James Bible, coming from the Vatican. He comes to show Bible truths that have been hidden throughout Bible content. Lord God is Real decrypts all things kept silent and in secret inside the pages of the ABB, aka the KJV, all with a level-headed, easy-to-follow analysis unlike any other. His Excellency logically restructures the AVB's confusing text and separates the subject matter into two categories, truth and fiction. He also defines with clarity what is meant by the terms Lord, in all caps, Christ, God, many other titles, and who claims them now in this day. His Majesty concludes, the Authorized Version Bible, written in the year 1611, is primarily a law book, a history book, a legal document, and the first law between the Pope of Rome, the papacy, and the Gentiles. In other words, those who are classified as white people. Knowing the AVB, written during the conquest of Africa, Lord God exposes the many laws of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelations, which include the law of Passover, the law of God, and the law of the curse carried out on African black people worldwide. It is established the Vatican is a governmental body institution hiding in plain view under the cloak of religion. Lord God is here because the Vatican called for him in the pages of the AVB. So without further ado, it is with great enthusiasm I bring before you the host of the show. Please join me in a warm round of applause, the magnificent Lord God is Real.
The Gentiles' official statement of compliance and submission to the Lord their God, Tommy L. Hart. Matthew 13:28, Jeremiah 3:22, Jeremiah 14:9, Song of Solomon 1:15, Joshua 9:25, Lamentations 3:42, 1 Samuel 12:4, Isaiah 63:19, Joshua 9:11, Song of Solomon 1:4, Numbers 32:31, and Deuteronomy 1:14. The servants, the Gentiles, said to him, their Lord, Tommy L. Hart, behold, we come to thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Thou, O Lord, art in the midst of us. Thou, Lord Tommy L. Hart, art fair, just, and honest. And now, behold, we the Gentiles are in thine hand, as it seemeth good and right to thee to do to us, do. Thou hast not pardoned. Thou hast not defrauded us, nor oppressed us. We the Gentiles are thine. We, the Gentiles, are your servants. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will do as thou, our Lord, Tommy L. Hart, hast said to thy servants. The things, the judgments, which thou, Lord Hart, hast spoken, are good for us to do. That was the reading of the Word of God, the Word coming from the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart. Question of interest. 1. Matthew 22:42. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? And 2. I wrote this. What do these three, John, the young child, and the babe, have in common? From the last time, while visiting Zechariah, Mary gave birth to her first child, John. Mary left her firstborn son, John, with Elizabeth and Zechariah. We learned that Jesus is not Mary's firstborn child. Jesus is not Mary's firstborn son. Now, I have been speaking on the gospel. I have been speaking with regard to an investigation. Four investigations were conducted. Investigations having to do with the children of Israel. And we said that, I said that what prompted the investigation, and I read some statements. Okay, here they are, which I call complaints coming from the Lord, such as Jeremiah 8:10, they all deal falsely. Isaiah 9:16-17, leaders of the people cause them to err. Everyone is a hypocrite and an evildoer. Jeremiah 9:5, they deceive and do not speak the truth. They have taught their tongues to speak lies. Hosea 4:10-12, they have left off to take heed to the Lord. They have gone a-whoring from under their God. Hosea 5:7, they have dealt treacherously against the Lord. And there are others which I read the last time. Now, this statement deals more on the things that led, or that which led to the investigations. And, of course, the investigations led to a trial, and a trial led to conviction, and the conviction led to a judgment. So, this right here preceded the investigation. Listen to this. Deuteronomy 31:12. And with these things, we get a good understanding of what the Bible story is about. That story having to do with Jesus. We get a good understanding. And that's the goal here, to get a good, solid, sound understanding. And thus, we obey the commandment that says, get wisdom, get understanding. And we're also told in Proverbs that the Lord God gives wisdom. We now know who the Lord God is. The Lord God is Tommy L. Hart. He gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding, says Proverbs. Now, listen to this reading. Like I said, it speaks concerning corruption and improprieties and all like that, things that were not good, things that were not lawful, having been committed by the children of Israel. Listen, Deuteronomy 31, starting with verse 12, gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law. Now, I've read the law many times on this program. Verse 13, and that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live. Verse 14, and the Lord said to Moses, behold, thy days approach that thou must die. Call Joshua, and present yourselves in the tabernacle of the congregation, that I may give him a charge. And Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation. Okay, verse 16. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers. Listen. And this people will rise up, speaking about the children of Israel. This people will rise up and go a-whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whither they go to be among them, and will forsake me and break my covenant which I have made with them. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day. And I say to you, the things which I'm speaking about coming from the full investigative reports, which I can refer to as the four IRs, the four IRs, I for investigative and R for report or either reports. In this case, the four IRs. Okay? So the investigative reports can be referred to as IRs, okay? For instance, let me get this on out right now. For instance, if we're speaking about Matthew or coming from Matthew, I can say IR1. IR1 says this and this, you know? Or Mark, IR2, or Luke, IR3, or John, IR4. So we have four IRs. All right. Back to the reading. This people will rise up, go a-whoring, the Lord was telling Moses. And he said that the people will forsake him, the Lord, and break his covenant which he has made with them. 17, then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, are not these evils come upon us, because our God is not among us. And I will surely hide my face in that day for all the evils which they have wrought, and that they are turned to other gods. All right, and it goes on. Let me read verse through 20, let's say. Now, therefore, write you this song for you and teach it the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. For when I shall have brought them into the land which I swear to their fathers that flows with milk and honey, and they shall have eaten and filled themselves and waxen fat, then will they turn to other gods and serve them, and provoke me and break my covenant. And it shall come to pass when many evils and troubles are befallen them, verse 21, that this song shall testify against them as a witness, for it shall not be forgotten out of the mouths of their seed. For I know their imagination, which they go about, even now, before I have brought them into the land which I swear. And so the Lord goes on and continues. You can read the rest of it, and it goes on into chapter 32 of Deuteronomy. Okay? Now, that gives us more information that what is happening in what is called the New Testament did not just all of a sudden begin to happen, but it has been building up for quite some time. And that was the message of the prophets to the children of Israel. What was that message? Turn from your evil way. Turn to the Lord your God. That's the message. And the message to us today is, the message to the people is this. Go to Mark 1. Mark 1, verse 15. The message to you today is, repent you and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. Even if you call yourself a Christian, the message is to you, repent and believe the gospel. Implying that heretofore, you have not believed the gospel. The gospel comes from the Lord God. The Lord God is the giver of truth, according to the AVB, Authorized Version Bible, commonly called King James Version. The Lord God is the giver, is the provider and the giver of truth. So keep these things in mind. The message to you, repent and believe the gospel. Okay. Believe the truth that comes from the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart. I've told you before that gospel, unqualified, just the word gospel, as in this case, repent and believe the gospel, speaks about the truth that comes from the Lord God. Now, and the Lord, that is the Lord Tommy L. Hart. So, we have complaints. We have a reason. We have the complainer. We heard from the complainer in the reading, which I just read, coming from Deuteronomy, the chief complainer. Okay? In that statement in Deuteronomy, he foretold of a time to come. And of course, when we get to Matthew, that time has come. The time of judgment, really. The time of judgment, because of the evil having been committed by the Lord's people, the children of Israel. Now, we've talked about we've talked about Matthew 1. We've talked about and we heard from Joseph. We, at the end of Matthew 1, Joseph is in Nazareth. From there, we went to Luke, chapter 2. Luke chapter 1. We went to Luke 1. Verse 26, where we begin to be taught, we begin to receive information concerning Mary. Mary espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Okay, and we saw last time that, let me just read the chronology, okay? We got a chronology here that I read last time. And in the chronology tells us these things. Mary is pregnant, Matthew 1. She and Joseph commune with Elizabeth and Zacharias. Mary and Elizabeth are reputed cousins. Zacharias works in the temple. Listen, about 5 months into Mary's pregnancy, Elizabeth goes into hiding. About the last 3 months of Mary's pregnancy, she, Mary, is with Elizabeth and Zacharias. Mary stays with Elizabeth and Zacharias till she brings forth her, Mary's, firstborn son. Mary leaves her firstborn son, whose name was called John, with cousin Elizabeth, and of course her husband Zacharias, and Mary returns to Nazareth alone. So, where are we now? Let's look at this different. Let's look at these two statements here. I'm turning to them. Listen to these two statements. Luke 1, 57 and Luke 2, verse 7. Luke 1, 57 speaks with regard to Elizabeth, and Luke 2, 7 speaks regarding Mary. Listen to what it says about Elizabeth. Now, Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. Now listen to what it said about what it said in Luke 2:7, and she's speaking about Mary brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and rest. The two statements: Elizabeth brought forth a son. Mary brought forth her firstborn. The statement regarding Elizabeth does not say she brought forth her son, as does the statement in Luke 2:7. And speaking about Mary, says she brought forth her son. Mary brought forth her son, but it does not say Elizabeth brought forth her son. It only says Elizabeth brought forth a son. Elizabeth presented a son. We now know what son or whose son Elizabeth presented. Elizabeth presented the son of Mary, the son which Mary gave or left in the care of Elizabeth and Zacharias. It's important that we understand these things. Statement says, in other words, it says, pay attention that you be not deceived. Take heed that you be not deceived. Pay attention. Pay close attention. Give careful attention to these things, people. Because religion has lied. So the Christian church has lied to the people so much. And it's obvious to see, when you hear my teaching, you see the difference in my teaching and the teaching which comes from the Christian church. The Christian church teaches lies. The Lord God teaches truth. So, understand those two statements and understand the difference. Luke 1:57 does not say Elizabeth brought forth her son. It only says she brought forth a son. Because the investigator has found out that what? That the son which Elizabeth supposedly brought forth is actually the son of Mary. It was found out when we look at IR1 and IR3, it's found out that Elizabeth pretended to be pregnant. That's why she went into hiding. You know, 5 months into Mary's pregnancy. Because she wasn't pregnant, so she hid from the public in order to fool the public that she is actually pregnant and that she, what? She had a son, her own son, which she brought forth from her own womb. We found out that there was a conspiracy involving Mary and Joseph and Elizabeth and Zacharias. Conspiracy to deceive the people. To deceive the people. And I think the conspiracy is clear. What happened between Mary and Joseph and Elizabeth and Zacharias with regard to the child that was born, this first child that was born. whose name Elizabeth and Zacharias called John. Joseph was expecting the baby to be called Jesus, but the baby was called John. Now, but we should understand that which regards Mary's firstborn, the firstborn son. Now, it does say this right here in the statement, Luke 2:7, and she brought forth her firstborn son. Mary pretended that Jesus was her firstborn son. Okay? That's a part of the conspiracy involving Mary and Joseph and Zacharias and Elizabeth. Just like it says in Luke 1:57, Elizabeth brought forth a son. Elizabeth didn't have a son. Elizabeth pretended to have a son. In Luke 2:7, the child Mary brought forth is not her firstborn son. That's important. That's important, people. The Bible says, you shall know the truth. Listen, let's look at that for a moment. You shall know the truth. Like the truth in the Bible, knowing the truth is a future event. Now, what happens when people read the Bible today? And they haven't heard me. They haven't heard anything that I teach. They've only heard that which comes from the church. Religious rhetoric, religious lies. You shall know the truth. The Bible tells the people, you shall know the truth. It tells even those, listen carefully now, it says to even those who are in religion, those who say they have given their lives to Jesus, those who say Jesus is Lord, it says, you shall know the truth, implying that you do not know the truth, but you shall know it. Knowing the truth is a future event, the Bible tells them. And get this, the implication is you don't know it now. Even though you say you love the Lord, you know, Christians tell so many lies. They say they believe the Bible. And if they're not believing what I teach, they do not believe the Bible. They do not believe the Bible. They believe their religious teachings. And it's very important that you know that there's a difference in what the Bible really teaches and what religion teaches. Just like, what does the Bible really teach with regard to Mary's first son? According to the IRs, 1 and 3, Mary's firstborn is John, who she left with Elizabeth and Zacharias. All right? That's what the Bible teaches concerning the matter. Yes, this verse does say, and she brought forth her firstborn son. But that's not what it actually teaches. That's what Mary testified, that this was her firstborn son. That's what Mary acted like, or as though this child, Jesus, was her firstborn son. That was her pretense. Her fooling the people. But the Bible really teaches, according to IR 1 and IR 3, that John is of Mary's firstborn son. Now, you who listen to me should have a good understanding of that now. You should have a good, sound understanding of Mary's firstborn. Now, let's go back to IR 1, chapter 2. IR 1, chapter 2. You should know that IR 1 is a reference to Matthew the investigative report of Matthew. It starts out when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Let me say this about Matthew 1:18. It says this, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was exposed to Mary before they came together, she was found to be a child of the Holy Ghost." Then Joseph, okay, long story short, Joseph was minded to put Mary away. But like I said, then they put this conspiracy in action. So my point is this right here. The birth of Jesus, even though the statement says, "Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise," Matthew 1 does not present the birth concerning Jesus. It does not present Jesus' birth, even though it says, "Now the birth of Jesus was Jesus Christ was on this wise." The birth of Jesus Christ, we get that when we go to IR 3 and chapter, let me make sure. IR 3 and chapter 2. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, and it starts out this way. "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed," and on down into the chapter. That statement presents us with the birth of Jesus. All right. Now, IR 1, chapter 2, we see wise men, those who are called wise men, coming from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." Herod the king, when he hears these things, he's troubled and all like that. Okay, and then on down to, he gathers all the chief priests. But let's get down to the point of the matter. Listen, verse 7. "Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also.'" Listen, "When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented to him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.' When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord by the prophet, saying, 'Out of Egypt have I called my son.'" Let's go on down to verse 19. "But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, 'Arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life.' And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel." So you may already see my point. IR 1, chapter 2, speaks about a young child. It never gives the name of that young child. We cannot and we should not be presumptuous and say that young child is Jesus. No. If you say that, you are presuming. The text does not identify, obviously, the text does not identify that young child. What it does say about the young child is that Mary is this young child's mother, and it doesn't say that Joseph is this young child's father. Listen how it said, I said, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child. It doesn't say take your child. It doesn't say take Jesus. It doesn't say take your son. It says take the young child and his mother. And we know that the mother is already called Mary up in verse 11. He arose, Joseph arose, and he took the young child and his mother. Now it says he took his son and his wife or mother, the mother of the son. Now it says that. So we cannot be presumptuous and say that this child is Joseph's son, and we can't be presumptuous and say this child is Jesus. If the investigators had wanted us to know the name of the young child, they would have given it to us. The investigators ruled that the identity of this young child is irrelevant and immaterial. How do I know that? Because they never give the child a name. It's not important. It has nothing to do with the matter at hand. So, what is the matter at hand? The matter at hand is this here. Listen. In the same IR 1, turn to IR 1, chapter 22, verse 42. This is what came up during the time of the investigation. IR 1, chapter 22, verse 42 says this: what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? That's the matter at hand. So we can have this understanding that in that this young child in IR 1, chapter 2, in that the child is not identified, is that this child right here is not the Christ. As I said, the investigators ruled the identity of this young child to be immaterial and irrelevant. So, you should have that understanding. You should know that. It just speaks for itself. I counted 9 times IR 1, chapter 2, speaks saying the young child. I counted 9 times. 9 times. That says just what I said. The identity of the child is immaterial and irrelevant. And what is relevant is Christ, whose son is he. And, you know, we've been told that it is Jesus who is called Christ. So now, that's what we need to know coming from IR 1, chapter 2. That's what we need to know about it. So now we have spoken on, I have spoken on Matthew 1, and now I have spoken on Matthew 2. I have spoken on Luke 1. And now I speak on Luke 2. Luke 2. IR 3, chapter 2. What does IR stand for? Say it out loud. Did you say investigative report? If you did, you are correct. Now, I spoke on IR 3, chapter 2, verse 7. I've already spoken on that, already cleared that matter. Jesus is not Mary's firstborn son. But another thought on the, and this is the point of that we get from IR 1, chapter 2, that we've spoken about Mary's, and I call him the first son. He may be the second son, John, that is. We know now that Mary has had three sons. We know she's had John, who she left with her cousin Elizabeth and her husband Zacharias. And we know that she has this unidentified child, a son, in IR 1, chapter 2. Those two sons. And now, here's a third one we find in IR 3, chapter 2, verse 7. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. And we know now that Jesus is not her firstborn. Mary is living a lie, pretending that Jesus is her firstborn. We know what we know. We know that three sons of Mary are spoken of. John, the young child, the young unidentified child, and now Jesus. And Jesus is not shown to be her firstborn. That's why it starts out, it says in Matthew 1, now the birth of Jesus was on this wise. And it speaks of, and what son was delivered? John. It's saying Jesus is not, this firstborn is not Jesus. That's the implication we get from Matthew and Luke. The firstborn is not Jesus. Is he the second born? Irrelevant. Or is he the third born? Irrelevant. He's not the first born. Because that's what Mary feigned. That's what she pretended. That's what she testified. That's what she acted as though. save the firstborn. And that's very important. Because listen, let's turn into IRA 3, chapter 2, starting with verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus. Now, we see that one child was called John, one child is called Jesus, the other child is unidentified. When the investigators want us to know a person's name, it gives it. When they don't want us to know a person's name because the matter is irrelevant and immaterial, as in IR 1, chapter 2, then they don't give it. That was at the discretion of the investigator. Now, IR 2, chapter 2, IR 3, chapter 2, beginning with verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. I'm not going to speak on that. But we see that this child is clearly identified. Now, in my Bible, this Jesus here in in Luke 2:21 is boldface and in all capital letters. Now, I don't know whether it is like that in your Bible or not. In my Bible, it's darkened, highlighted, and all capital letters are used. As in, now, Jesus is born. Now, he wasn't the firstborn. Now this Jesus is born. We have a child born that is called Jesus. Let me go on with this. Verse 22, IR 2, chapter 2. And when the days of her, Mary's, purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him, the child, that is, Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Listen, verse 23, as it is written in the law of the Lord, the law of Moses, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. Verse 24, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord. Listen to this. They stated a pair of turtle doves are two young pigeons. Let's turn to, let me see, I think Joshua 13. Let's see. Exodus 13. Now remember what was said over here. As it is written in Luke. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord. A pair of turtle doves are two young pigeons. What does the law actually say? Does the law say that? Let's see. Exodus 13, verse 2 says, sanctify, the Lord says, sanctify to me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. Now let me get this clear too while I'm here. Look at verse 12 of the same chapter. It says, Moses is speaking now. Now the Lord said that in verse 2, whatsoever openeth the womb. Listen to what Moses said. Moses said, that thou shalt set apart to the Lord all that openeth the matrix, another term for womb, and every firstling that cometh of a beast, which is a beast, cometh of a beast which thou hast. Now listen what Moses added. Moses said, the males shall be the Lord's. But that's not what the Lord told Moses. All you have to do is go back to verse 2 and check it. The Lord told Moses, whatsoever openeth the womb or matrix among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is thine. Key word there, whatsoever. Moses said, the Lord said, whatsoever openeth the womb of the among the children of Israel, it is his, the Lord's. But Moses said, the males shall be the Lord. Moses added to the word of the Lord. Did Moses have authority to do that? No. Moses should have told the people the thing which the Lord told him. Some of you have heard me speak about it. You're not supposed to add to. Because that changes, that means that what Moses said, he's signaling, signifying that the Lord didn't mean what he said. Whatever he's doing, he spoke wrong. He added to that which the Lord had said. Now, but back to that which is written in Luke chapter 2. Is it a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons? Let's look at Numbers 3:13. See what it says. Numbers 3:13 says this, because all the firstborn are mine. And we see that the Lord is doing the talking. Again here, the Lord says, all the firstborn are mine. For on the day that I smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I hallowed unto me all the firstborn in Israel, both man and beast. Mine shall they be. I am the Lord. Okay. Let's see what Exodus 11, 4, and 5 tells us. Okay, that's not the statement that I want. Let's see here. Leviticus chapter 12. Let's go there. Listen to this, Leviticus chapter 12, verse, and I may just skip about here because for the sake of time. Leviticus 12, 2, Moses, the Lord is doing the talking, and he tells Moses, speak to the children of Israel, saying, if a woman have conceived seed and born a man child, then she shall be unclean 7 days, according to the days of the separation. For her infirmity shall she be unclean. And in the eighth day, the flesh of his, the child's foreskin, shall be circumcised. And she shall then continue in the blood of her purifying 33 days. She shall touch no hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary, until the days of her purification be fulfilled. Verse 6, since Jesus is a male, and when the days of her purifying are fulfilled for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring a lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation to the priest, who shall offer it before the Lord and make an atonement for her, and she shall be cleansed from the issue of her blood. Listen, this is the law for her that hath born a male or a female, verse 8, and
And if she be not able to bring a lamb, then she shall bring two turtles or two young pigeons, the one for the burnt offering and the other for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for her, and she shall be clean. So, we can surmise from what is given us that Mary didn't bring a lamb, so she didn't bring a lamb of the first year, so she could bring now, if she be not able to bring a lamb, she shall bring two turtles or two young pigeons. What are we told in Luke 2? We are told here to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves, or two young pigeons. Is that what it says? No, it says two turtles or two young pigeons. It does not say two turtle doves, as that which is stated in Luke 2, verse 24. You see how people can get off when they don't pay attention, when you don't have people who are true to a thing, in this case, true to the word of the Lord, true to it, careful that they are what? Abiding by what the Lord has said. But these people have become corrupt in their doings. Remember the text that I read at the beginning of this lecture. Remember that. The reason that led to the investigative report or the investigation, the cause for it. The people had declined something. They had turned from the Lord. And if they have turned from the Lord, they have also turned from the law. Things are gone wrong. The book says, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Mary here is not doing good, because the text leads us to think that she's going to offer, that her understanding is she should offer two young pigeons. That's her understanding. That's why this is given here. So we are looking into the mind of Mary. We've looked at her actions with regard to her children, some of her children. We're looking into her mind. Okay. Now, I have some more stuff here. And with that, you see, wrong understanding leads to wrong actions. People today have a wrong understanding. Black people have been mistaught, given untrue things that have to do with Bible content. They've been given a false belief. That means their hope is a false hope. They've been given falsehoods. Do you care about that? That black people have believed a lie? Does that bother you? Or does it not bother you? I want to look, just give, before I go off air, some misapplications, just like we see in Luke 2:24, where it says a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. It doesn't say, the law does not say two turtle doves. It says two turtles or two young pigeons. Now, here's one, Matthew 1:22-23 is a misuse of Isaiah 7:14. I tell you what, so I can do this right, let's end here. The hour is up, and I've given you enough. Remember the story about Mary's son. I've walked you through three sons which she gave birth to. Very important to understand that Jesus is not her firstborn. She pretended like that Jesus is her firstborn child, not only firstborn son. And so that's why it's written here in Luke 2:22 through 24. 22, she takes the child to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as though he is her firstborn. He is not her firstborn. Mary is pretending, Mary is feigning, Mary is lying. She's living a lie. And it's been apparent from the beginning, when I first began to teach on this, these things here, that they have a wrong understanding of Scripture. Very wrong. And I won't go through that again. Now, three sons Mary has. It's apparent that the Christian ministers teach lies. Very much apparent. They don't teach the truth. Christianity is an evil, which the Bible has condemned, and I, the Lord God, have in agreement with the Bible, have condemned it. The Authorized Version Bible condemns Christianity. I am the Lord your God, Tommy L. Hart. Are you sending in your offering? Remember, starting September 1, 2012, everyone should send to the Lord their God, Tommy L. Hart, a check on money order in the amount of $30 payable to the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart. And that check on money order should be received by the 15th of each month. Are you doing that? Will you do that? Will you obey the Lord your God? Will you turn to the Lord your God? Obey the Lord your God. Obey the law. Obey the law. Join me next time.